Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Plenty to talk about today, including Kevin Hurd discussing little cars going around in circles.
You know what? That had to be, I must admit, the most boring Sunday of qualifying on bubble day ever.
Because nobody got knocked out. When the big story is, they're saying, hey, we have 33 cars.
Exactly. Great news. We have all 33.
That tells me that you have a sad situation in your sport.
Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. New cars this year, they're a little bit more expensive than past years. The problem is, you know, you've had older cars available that some teams would have as a backup car that you could buy if you were a team owner and you had a driver that you think could make the field. So you would buy that car for just for quite a bit less than you would buying it new and be able to put a driver in the field and get your money back just because you entered the field. The problem was this year you couldn't do that as much because a lot of teams did not have the funds to have a backup car, you know, let alone have enough funds for the primary car. So that's why you didn't see the bumping that you've seen in the past, and you don't see the amount of drivers getting into cars late as you have in the past.
Why don't you just go over to the Hall of Fame and pick up one of the extra ones there?
Well, that's a thought. That's a thought. They might be a little out of date. You might have. I don't know if you'll be as slow as John Alesi is in his Lotus, but you know, you might have a little bit of trouble making the field then.
Why? Only 33 made it.
Well, you're not. Listen, I know 209 isn't really fast, but I'm not sure many of the cars in there could come right back out without any testing and bump even 209 out of the field.
You never know.
That's true. That's true. But they're a little bit. They're a little bit different. They're a little bit different now. So may not follow specs.
Where's your junk mail? I have nothing from you on junk mail.
You don't have. Oh, that's a shame.
Huh. Oh well.
You sound slightly disappointed.
I'm totally, completely disappointed.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame.
I'm also getting feedback.
Now you're not.
Okay, now I'm not.
All right, let's get to the high quality production of this show that you get from me. You know.
Let's get to the football schedules for Penn State that have been released. These run through 2016. Now we know what this year's schedule is. 2013 will open up with Syracuse at MetLife Stadium. Okay? That'll be the first one. Syracuse at MetLife Stadium. And then you'll have Eastern Michigan here on September 7th, Virginia the return game here on September 14th, and Kent State on September 21st. Then you'll have a game at Indiana to open up Big Ten play October 5th, 2013. Northwestern and Iowa will rotate off the schedule. Michigan and Minnesota rotate on. So they'll play Michigan in the homecoming game October 12, 2013. Then a bye week, followed by Ohio State in Columbus October 26th. And you'll have five games in November. Illinois on November 2nd at home at Beaver Stadium, November 9th at Minnesota. That should be just a delight. Nothing like football in November in Minnesota outdoors. And November 16th, Purdue here. November 23rd, Nebraska at Beaver Stadium. November 30th at Wisconsin. Big Ten Championship game, Lucas Oil Stadium, December 7th. In 2014, Penn State will open with Temple here at Beaver Stadium. Then it's Akron here on September 6th. Then it'll be at Rutgers September 13th. That originally was supposed to be Nebraska. Rutgers at Rutgers September 13th. Then on September 20th, UMass here. UMass has gone FBS. Then it's Minnesota here to open the Big Ten schedule September 27th, at Nebraska October 11th. Indiana's the homecoming game on October 18th. So the bye week, and there are two bye weeks in 2014, by the way. Are there two? It's a 14. It must be 15. I think 15 there's. One of them has two bye weeks in it.
And so that TBA date's now filled on the...
Oh, that's been filled for a while. I knew that.
No, the UMass one.
Yeah,
That was the one we've been talking about for the last couple of days.
Yeah, I did that for the poll, but I'm known.
Well, no, I understand.
I've known for a month who it was.
I figured you knew.
Sorry.
Thanks for sharing.
But for the show, I thought people would be intrigued. Let's see. It's 2014. So they have Minnesota here, then a bye week, then at Nebraska October 11th, Indiana homecoming October 18th, at Michigan October 25th, at Purdue November 1st, then Ohio State November 15th.
There is another bye week.
At Beaver State.
You're right. November 8th.
Yeah, November 8th is a bye week. Two bye weeks. Then Ohio State, that will be November 15th at Beaver Stadium, at Illinois November 22nd, Wisconsin at Beaver Stadium November 29th, Big Ten Championship game December 6th, Lucas Oil Stadium. December 2015, Penn State opens at Temple on September 5th, Labor Day weekend. Then it's Buffalo September 12th, Rutgers in the return September 19th at Beaver Stadium. Then it's a TBA game on September 26th. Illinois is the Big Ten opener October 3rd at Beaver Stadium, at Ohio State October 10th, bye week, to be followed by Purdue October 24th at Beaver Stadium, at Indiana October 31st, nothing like Halloween in Bloomington, Iowa November 7th at Beaver Stadium, then the return of Michigan State November 14th.
The Land Grant Trophy comes back.
At East Lansing, they can junk that thing. November 20 trophy games are dumb. They are.
That one is kind of weak, I must admit.
They all are. Okay, they all are.
Years ago, Steve would record these promos and things for us for these games coming up, and I put in there for the Land Grant Trophy. And Steve's like, you know that there's nobody that knows that but you.
I know. November 21st, Nebraska Beaver Stadium at Wisconsin, November 28th, Big Ten Championship game, Lucas Oil Stadium, December 5th. 2016, Penn State opens with Kent State at Beaver Stadium. Then it's at Pitt at Heinz Field, September 10th. September 17th, Temple at Beaver Stadium. Then the next TBA, September 24th.
And you already know who's going to be there.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
At Illinois, October 1st. Bye week, Indiana, October 15th, Beaver Stadium. October 22nd at Purdue, October 29th, Beaver Stadium, Ohio State. November 5th at Iowa. November 12th, Michigan State at Beaver Stadium. November 19th at Nebraska. And November 26th, Wisconsin at Beaver Stadium. And then December 3rd, Big Ten Championship game. But that is a location to be determined because it's the sixth year of the Big Ten Championship game, and the deal with Lucas Oil Stadium is 5 years. So there you are.
Are we getting into a static part of the schedule for the Big Ten where, you know, it's Nebraska and Wisconsin pretty much the last two games of the season for a little while now?
Well, in 15 and 16, yes, but in the 13 and 14... Let's see, 13 it is.
Yeah, 12 it's not.
12 it's not, and 14 it's not either. 14 it's October 11th.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know why that's, but they take Ohio State.
That's strange.
They take Ohio State and Nebraska. They really flip them all over the place on the schedule. Wisconsin's the only constant at the very end.
Yeah, Wisconsin's the one that's been the end of the season now for the last several, the way it looks.
Yeah. So what they do is they take Ohio State, Michigan, then they work their way back. Just kidding. 1-800-795-9565. Who would you put? Now, here comes the tricky part. And I want to ask, who would you put in those slots? If you're going to do things that are financially responsible, Then you take 15 and 16 and take those two TBAs, and they both have to be home games. Or at least the one in 16 has to be a home game.
I think you need one more home game in 14 as well, because you got those two open dates in October and November.
No, 14, it's already set.
No, 14. I know, but I would have, that's what I'm saying. I would have not had two open dates in 14.
Yeah, but they're both Big Ten open dates. Those are not non-conference open dates.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It's in the Big Ten schedule. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, they're both Big Ten open dates. In 15, okay, they both have to be home games if you're going to have seven. Because in 15, you play at Temple, and 16, you play at Pitt. So if you're going to have seven home games, which is part of the financial formula, they both have to be home days.
My brain's starting to hurt now.
Unless you have one game that you just want, one season you want to sacrifice and have 6 years. Six in a year. And then things become very complicated in 17 as to what you do. Because that's when the Pac-12 agreement starts. At that point, they had talked originally about neutral sites. And I'm sorry, that to me is not going to be, that's not going to work.
Wait, that's not say that again, neutral sites?
Yeah, the original, here, let me find the actual.
Yeah, explain that one to me, because I don't quite understand what the.
They talked originally about playing neutral sites for the Pac-12 game. If you play neutral sites, then you have to have seven. You have to have your other three games at home.
Yeah, you're going to have another home game.
You have to have all three at home.
Well, yeah.
Now, I don't think this is how it's going to work out.
But where would you play a neutral site game? Would you have to play it somewhere in the middle of the country?
Well, no. I mean, you play like the Meadowlands.
Oh, I'm sure that'll excite the Pac-12 to come to the Meadowlands.
Well, no. I mean, in other words, they mentioned Dodger Stadium. Hold on a second. Let me find the actual release. Since they get through all the Ohio State and Michigan press releases here. Just kidding.
All these schedules are making my brain hurt.
Oh, come on.
Let's see. What is it? The 2015, there was one that I thought that was, yeah, that's the one. Buffalo. I know Penn State's played Buffalo before, but that's a interesting September choice.
Yeah, that one's like that one hit me.
I mean, I know they've done it before, but,
it doesn't excite the fans.
It's a lukewarm game. The only person that's excited about that is Dick Hort, who's a Buffalo player. He's the one that's excited about that.
Right, I understand. No, I mean, it does not excite the fans. You and I both know that.
I mean, at least Temple and Rutgers, there's some history there. You can get behind stuff like that. But
yeah, there's some history, but still.
Well, I didn't say it was good history. But. UMass, though, that's interesting.
The UMass is going Division One. They're going at FBS beginning this year. In fact, they're going to play their home games at Gillette Stadium, home of the Patriots. I mean, that's what they're going to do.
When do they go Division One, you said?
I think they're going FBS starting this year.
This year, okay.
They're going to be in the Mid-American Conference. They'll be in the MAC. So that's what they're going to do.
I see that today was, as you mentioned, not only the 2015, but the 2016 Big Ten conference schedule came out.
Yeah, I just ran it down.
No, I know, but 2016 was the one that wasn't updated yet on any of the websites that I normally look at.
Right. Yeah. And as Pitt on there is, the away game. And in 17, Penn State's playing Pitt here.
Yes. I remember you saying that.
Okay, so let's see here. Let me find the... press release on the Pac-12 agreement. Because that was, sit there and go, oh, you've got to be kidding me, really.
But a neutral site, that takes all the fun out of those. I mean, having that at home would be, either way, would be much more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you have to do this home and away. You have to do this home and away. It's going to make scheduling easier for everybody if you know it's home and away. Now you're talking about how many home games you want to have. I mean, that's where, you know, that's where one of the keys is to make some money out of this thing. Well, you have to be able to make some money if you do this, and also by scheduling. Let's see here.
Big Still Ten sad pack. That Boise State's not on there anywhere.
Boise State has its own schedule. I'm not worried about Boise State.
I know. I wanted to see Boise State, though.
Yeah. Well, somebody said to me, "Lee, we have to play a schedule Boise State plays." I said, "Do you know why?"
Oh, even I know that.
Because there's the conference they're in. Okay. Big Ten, Pac-12 agreement moving forward. All right. When we come back after this break, we will run down what the idea was behind the Big Ten, Pac-12. We'll talk about that after this on WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Okay. Despite a few speed bumps, the Big Ten Pac-12 scheduling partnership is a go. Jim Delaney told the athletic directors that just a couple of days ago. The tails are still being worked out, which is not a surprise when you have 24 major conference programs with unique interests, scheduling philosophies, and scheduling agreements. But Delaney hopes to have a more specific idea of the scheduling models in the next few months. He says, we do want to fill it in. Whether that means you have 12 games or 11 or 10 in the first cycle, we're going to want 12 games as soon as possible. A lot of scheduling has been done in other non-conference areas that's reliant on this. The original goal was to have a full round-robin schedule by 2017, but it could be wishful thinking. Ohio State, for example, has games scheduled in both Oklahoma and North Carolina, and Athletic Director Gene Smith told ESPN.com that he would not add a Pac-12 opponent to the slate in 2017. Geez, we're sorry, Gene. Didn't mean to put you out there. I mean, Oklahoma's not bad. North Carolina's no better than average. Just it looks like a pretty name on there. We're not dumb, Gene. Pac-12, they have their own issues, namely a 9-game conference schedule as opposed to 8 in the Big Ten, and long-term agreements with teams such as Notre Dame playing both USC and Stanford. The partnership eventually will feature 6 home and home series. Okay, so they dropped the neutral site thing. Had to. The original thing was like, hey, we may play in neutral sites like Dodger Stadium. I'm like, Dodger Stadium? On Labor Day weekend, the Dodgers are going to line Dodger Stadium and play a game in there? I can think to myself, what's wrong with you people?
Well, that's one of those, like the Yankees playing a bowl game in New York, but that's not during the baseball season. I mean, that's what they're right. trying to do, but well, not during the baseball season. You don't right. do it.
Yeah, it's exactly what they do in San Francisco, too. They have a bowl game where the Giants play. Let's see. The scheduling process will be a hybrid effort between the schools and the two league offices. Big Ten, Pac-12 teams are facing one another with more frequency in the coming years. 3 matchups, in fact, take place this fall. With Western Stanford, for example, they already have a 4-game series set for 19 to 22. They're overseeing the scheduling elements. So we may have to do less initially. In other words, if there are 3 or 4 games set in 17, 18, 19, and 20, maybe the conference will only have to come in and pick up 7 or 8 games. For announcing the Pac-12 partnership, the Big Ten had approved a 9-game schedule, supporting Delaney's frequent statement that league teams should play one another more, not less. But the Big Ten decided to stay at 8 games because of the Pac-12 agreement. They had to. He said, on balance, it was a close call. But in the 9-game schedule, who you don't play was one factor, and the other was 5 home games versus 4 away. If you can create a situation where you improve your schedules, you improve the fan experience, you improve the games that are going to be on television without affecting the home and away segment inside the conference, it was the preferred method. And I understand that. I mean, that makes sense. If we hadn't done the collaboration, we would do 9 games. Now, the 9-game thing was going to benefit Indiana Northwestern. They are having trouble with guaranteed games. So there you go. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Tony Mancuso goes PSUSports.com coming up after the news at 3:30 on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motor Studio at the Chateau. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Monday show, as always, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. And now we bring in Penn State webmaster extraordinaire, Tony Mancuso. Antoine, good day.
Very nice to be on, Steve. How are you today?
Doing great. Well, Brian has prepared a list of questions here for me. Let's see. Where were you Wednesday night? No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about the Coach's Caravan first, because you were there for all the stops, or at least you made most of them. What was it like to be a part of something like that, considering it was different to do something like that for Penn State?
Yeah, I was at all 18 stops, and I'll be honest with you, it really exceeded my expectations. I went into it with the mindset that, it, like you said, you know, it'd be something different to do, and it was a very good idea for Coach O'Brien and the other coaches to get out on the road and meet a number of people, but it really exceeded my expectations in terms of the fan response and how the presentations were delivered and just the general reception in all 18 of these different places. I mean, from as far south as Richmond, Virginia, up into Hartford and throughout Pennsylvania, over to into Ohio and Youngstown and Cleveland, the fan reception was terrific throughout the 3 weeks, and I certainly feel like it was a great idea. I don't think you need to do something to that extent in terms of 18 stops every year, but it was terrific, especially this first year for Coach O'Brien.
Look, if they make 18 stops next year, I can tell you right now, most of them you're going to be by yourself.
I agree.
And the crowds, no offense, you know how much I like you, might be smaller.
It's true.
And I like you, okay? So that's why I laughed, because I said to Bill at one point, I said, I spoke at the Penn State Club of Greater Boston. I said, you spoke to the group in Hartford. I said, I spoke in your hometown. You spoke in mine. I said, something's askew here. Who set this up? For you, the experience of getting out and not just being a part of it, but meeting so many Penn State fans, what was the reaction you received from them as you did this?
That was the most enjoyable part from my perspective. Throughout the trip, at certain points, you know, you got to talking to whether it be alums or just general fans who were – it was interesting to talk to them before they heard Coach O'Brien speak versus, you know, after the event. Before the event, they were all very curious. You know, they had obviously seen things on whether it be TV or were at the Blue Light game and had a general expectation of Coach O'Brien, but then once they were in a small room, got into the environment where he was able to really deliver his vision for the program, it was just as if the people wanted to line up outside and pick up season tickets and get into Beaver Stadium today. And they were extremely happy with what he had to say. They were very excited for the general direction of the program. And I think that was very, very interesting to see, no matter where we were, that's kind of the case of how it was. I didn't see or hear from anybody who, after they had seen the presentation and heard what he had to say or met him up close and personal, who weren't ecstatic about Penn State football. And like I said, that was really across the board from all 18 stops.
And there's no question about that. And that's the reaction I've been getting. I think he comes in here, and while those of us who are around football knew exactly who he was and what he had accomplished in his career, I think for fans who did not know him, I think once they have had a chance to meet him, whether it was at the Nittany Lion Club breakfast, at the Jordan Center where they had huge numbers, or across the board where they had 1,000 in Scranton or 450 in New York, once you meet him, you understand he's the real deal.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it. And I think it was this idea was great on many fronts. And on the flip side, for Coach O'Brien having the opportunity to meet the fans, sure, he had, you know, knew the Penn State fans and the general expectations for around the program and how enthusiastic the fans were and how into the details of the you know, asking questions football related that were very specific. I think he had a general idea of that. But until he got out there and experienced it firsthand, I don't think he understood the degree and the magnitude of how enthusiastic and how diehard the Penn State fan base really is. And I think from his perspective, I think he learned a lot about the fan base and how the – obviously, like he said, from time to time, he's 0-0 right now. But still, just the general reaction and how interested they were in so many different things football-related, I think he definitely learned a lot about the program.
Right. There's no question about it. And not only that, but it also helped other coaches get out there, be a part of this, and expose other coaches to the fan base. I know in Scranton they were thrilled to see Russ Rose and Greg Nye. Guy Gadowski was on at the end of this. Patrick Chambers was on at the beginning of this. Coquise Washington was a part of it. Char Moret, just to get other coaches involved. Give us the idea of the importance it was for them just to go out, meet the fan base, and talk about what their message happens to be.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. I'll use the hockey coaches as an example. When Coach Kodowski was on for the entire last week, and then Josh Branwein, the women's hockey coach, joined for a couple stops in fairly big hockey markets when you look at Pittsburgh and Buffalo, and them specifically, getting the message out there just about their program and talking about the transition from up into the varsity status for the fall and the new facility that they have going up, the interest level during the past week from those people, for those coaches in talking to the fans was extremely important, just to get an idea of how things are going and what they can do to help and those types of things. Then across the board, you know, you look at Coach Pavlik from the volleyball team, and you touched on Char and Coach Chambers. Every program has a very, very compelling story at this point. You know, a lot of these programs are very successful or on the rise. And so I think it was a great opportunity for the coaches to showcase what they have to offer. In addition to that, get out and meet fans and meet a number of different people along the way, whether it be donors with the Nittany Lion Club and so on and so forth. You know, everybody's striving to improve facilities in the state of the economy. And so this is another opportunity to do that as well, to get out and talk to people who can potentially help you in the future. But across the board, I think the coaches were thrilled with the idea and being able to go out. Sure, they knew the importance of it for Coach O'Brien, and they knew he was the center of attention, but still, being able to go out there and speak and talk about the successes they've had and some of the things they've done with their program, it was terrific.
Also, by traveling on the bus with Godfrey driving, you were actually able to go from Hartford to Scranton in an hour and a half.
Absolutely. Very, very quick trick.
Yes. When Gottfried's driving, it's amazing how 3 hours has got in there.
What a guy Gottfried is.
Isn't he?
He was telling us at dinner in Scranton. I was fortunate enough to sit at his table, yeah. And he has made 14 trips to Alaska on a bus. Unbelievable. 33-day trips, he told us. I mean, that's incredible to think about.
I think I probably have known him, I'm going to say, it might be 25, 30 years. And you don't get a better guy than Godfrey. You just don't. He works over at Fullington. He's just one of the great guys going, and he's done everything. I mean, you haven't lived until you've watched a guy maneuver a bus in New York City and do it in such a way where you feel like you're in a cab.
Absolutely. I mean, there were times when you felt like you couldn't fit a piece of paper between his mirror and you name it in New York. he was never fazed, never bothered him.
No, it doesn't bother him at all. You have been given, Tony, from day one, a lot of access to talk to a lot of people within the football program. What has it been like for you? And also the thought, how much thought do you give every week to the stories you want to do?
I'll start with your first question. It's been outstanding. You know, since Coach O'Brien came on board, the access has been tremendous. And I think it's just an outstanding way for us from the inside the athletic department to showcase, number one, what the student-athletes are doing, their stories that they have to tell, introduce the new coaches, and being able to do it in such a first-hand environment, it's been terrific. You know, for example, tomorrow, you know, the team has started its summer workout regime 4 days a week, and tomorrow we're going over to the Lash building to film and work on a project. It will go up on the website, gopcsports.com. They will highlight the summer workout with Coach Fitzgerald. And these things in the past, we had access to be able to go watch, but in terms of producing content, it's just been outstanding this past spring and on into the summer now, being able to showcase those things. And it's been a lot of fun to do from my perspective. The more you're able to do and show the fans, I think the better it is for the new vision for Coach O'Brien. And still, there are a lot of people out there, you know, I that was one thing that really stood out to me on the caravan. There are a lot of people out there that, sure, they know who Coach O'Brien is, like we talked earlier, but they don't really know him, so to speak. So any chance you can get to introduce him, introduce Coach Fitzgerald and what the team is doing, I think it's a positive thing for all involved in Penn State Athletics.
Well, not only that, but on the web also. The other part is recruiting. To see to see assistant coaches along with the head coach out there putting the message out all the time, that's an important phase to this, is the recruiting aspect of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, prospects being able to see inside a newly furnished weight room, you know, firsthand, right when things are completely done is invaluable. You know, I'm like Coach Fitzgerald said when we were over there, you know, this is one of the best weight rooms in the country, so we want to show it off. And that's, like you said, a great way to do it when you put a story up on the website or a video or photos, whatever it may be, and anyone can go through and look through the information, and that includes recruits. And that's a great point.
What kind of game plan have you put together for preseason and then into the start of next season? Have you started to work on that yet?
That's one of the things working on right now. We're gonna do a package of the summer workouts here over the next month or so. The team does leg work on Monday, Tuesday's upper body, and they also work out on Thursday, and Wednesday's a day off. Thursday is a day where they're outside in a new toy for Coach Fitzgerald, a sand pit over here by the outdoor track, and then Friday sort of a team workout day. So we're gonna do a package of 3 or 4 pieces, video pieces on the summer workout, you know, indoors, outdoors, team aspect, and then on into training camp. And certainly feel like the training camp's going to take on a whole new feel in terms of content for the website, that we're going to have something new and fresh likely every day, whether it be some of the things I'm throwing around, you focus on one specific unit on the depth chart for one day, you know, show what they're doing and talk to some of those players, then move to another one the next day. You know, so you start with the running backs, then you move to the receivers, and so on and so forth down the line. But I'm really looking forward to training camp. It sounds like it's going to be a very intense few weeks for the team, and I think it'll be a lot of fun to show people what the Nittany Lions are doing.
Just a little bit about your background and how you ended up in this spot and this job.
Sure, yeah. I was a Penn State student, graduated in 2008, and worked in the communications office as a student for 3 years. I was in charge of the media relations for the men's tennis team as a student. And when I graduated in 2008, I started working for a third-party company called Official Sports Report. It was a group that was affiliated directly with Penn State Athletics, and I was essentially the editor, the photographer, and the writer and whatnot for a daily sports news service that went out via email to a large subscriber-based list of fans, alums, and so on and so forth, 365 days a year. So I kind of was thrown into the idea of writing and editing several thousand words every single day, Christmas, New Year's, you know, whatever it may be. But it was a great opportunity for me. I traveled to all the football games, you know, in the 2008-2009 seasons, and really got my feet wet with what types of things you needed to do in terms of providing extensive coverage for football. And then 2 summers after I graduated, 2010, I came into the role that I'm in right now in the athletic department and providing web coverage on a daily basis. I staff a group of interns that work under me, that provide written work for the website and video work for all across the board in terms of all 31 sports teams. So it's a great, I often say that it's almost like you're not being paid, because, you know, why am I being paid to go do all the things that I get to do? And I thoroughly enjoy it, and it's a great way to get to know a lot of people and a lot of different avenues of college sports and work with people like you, Steve. It's a great opportunity, so I thoroughly enjoy it.
First of all, Tony, don't openly say you do it for nothing.
All right. Okay. Let's start with that premise right there. Okay. Even though inside you may feel that way, don't hint it to them at all that you would do it for
nothing. Contracts are signed. Don't worry. Contracts are signed.
That's just an opinion from somebody who's been around the block. Okay. I'm trying to help you out here, lad. You can't imagine, though, how the job would have taken off the way it did, though. I mean, you really could never have imagined the way it turned for you.
No, absolutely not. You know, when I came into it, you could see that, you know, the way things were in terms of coverage, that things were going to sort of a web-based, you know, video was coming into its own, website work was coming into its own, but just the way it's really evolved and how much more technical everything is, it's incredible, like I say, and it's been terrific to be able to have the kind of access that we're able to have and do the things that we're able to do, and it's been great.
Tony, you do a great job. Great job. Appreciate the time you gave us today, my man. And again, never tell them that it's so great you would do it for nothing, even though inside you may feel that way. We'll come back and we'll hear from somebody who actually does work for nothing, Kevin, in a moment on WKOK.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month, and it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles, where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
Philly's contemplating Kevin Youkilis. Yeah, I would. Who would you give up? Oh, I don't know. Anybody. Jonathan Papelbon?
All right, that might be a little extreme, but yeah, I think there would be a list of people.
You know why he's a Philadelphia Philly. Red Sox didn't offer him a contract.
Right. And I'm fine with that.
I'm not. I thought it was stupid from the beginning.
I was fine with it Friday night, I'll put it that way.
Well, he didn't hurt you any other time.
No. Everybody else did. Yeah. But that's another story.
Yeah. All right. Now, I want to get back to the Big Ten, Pac-12 thing for a moment. Then we'll get on to the topics you want to talk about. I know that because Kevin has sent me a list of topics. One of them deals with janitorial services at
Beaver Stadium.
At Citizens Bank Park. And, it's sad sometimes when I. But the Big Ten Pac-12 agreement, it sounds like they don't have some things in place schedule-wise. And this is like, you're talking about 2017. Okay, you're talking 2017. Before some of this stuff happens, all right? So I was talking about, because this all deals with the schedule you're going to watch and how you put it together, okay? So the one thing that's important, they're going to be home and aways. That's good, okay? Purdue Athletic Director Morgan Burke made it clear that he wants to keep the annual Notre Dame series going as long as possible. Now that the Boilers have played Notre Dame and a Pac-12 team, Oregon, Arizona, in the same season before. Said it adds some name recognition to your schedule in September. It does. I think what's important about this is that I think if you schedule this thing right, let's just take USC as an example. Say Penn State's Pac-12 game on Labor Day weekend is USC. And say in 2017, it turns out that Penn State has to play in Los Angeles. That means that they can take, let's just pick another team. Let's pick Notre Dame since that's in this story. Okay? They can play Notre Dame at home in 17 and then still have 7 home games. And then in 18, you'd flip it. USC would come here and then they'd go and play at Notre Dame. You still have 7 home games. You just have to be able to balance it out right. And by having 2 of those 4 games be significant games, I think it's better for your schedule. Instead of currently having 1 out of 4 being significant. And then, of course, there's the basketball agreement, too. That still is something that I think that starts next year. So That's how I look at it. I think you put the Pac-12 on there, and you use that as one of the games, but then you rotate, and you still have 7 games on there. Well, the Selins Grove Orchestra has kicked in. That means, of course, we head to the top of the hour. Our thanks to Tony Mancuso from GoPSUSports.com for being on. Vince Welsh from ESPN on the Indianapolis 500 later in the week. Kevin is so excited he will not be able to eat or drink between now and then.